is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County, now a presentation of Concrete Builders Supply. For the contractor and the do-it-yourselfer, go to concretebuildersupply.com. And County Commissioner Tim Freeman joining us this afternoon. We're going to cover a lot of different things this afternoon. Commissioner Freeman, thanks for being on.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
First of all, kind of give us an overall update on how things have been going for county government this summer.
Well, as I've had the chance to report several times, you know, we have a lot going on here at the county around the COVID stuff, but outside of that, all the regular functions of county government continue to happen. So we are back to our full staffing, and everybody's out doing what they normally do. We have an amazing group of staff members here at Douglas County that, you know, are very dedicated to the work that they do. Many of them, you know, were redeployed and were part of the COVID response, and they're back to doing their regular jobs now. Again, just an amazing group of people doing what they're supposed to be doing and trying to serve the public and take care of those very important needs that the public have around county services.
Now, in the summer, a lot of projects typically happen. This year has been a different year in many different ways. But what about county public works? Do we have road projects going on, or in the parks department, some park projects going on?
Well, we certainly do. So, you know, early on in the COVID thing, we had some of our public works employees redeployed, helping with senior meals and things. And those folks have all gone back to doing their regular work. Some of them were helping with our drive-through test clinics. We still have some employees helping over at the coast with drive-through test clinics on the weekend, but they're all back to full force. So, some of the great projects we're doing around public works, of course, everybody has seen and been challenged with the delays around the 99 project north of town. It is now virtually completed, a couple little things being finished up, and some of the documentation work. So that was a huge project, and it's finishing up. We've just started our bridge project, which is three different bridges, Dancer Road Bridge, Soup Creek, and Upper Lawalla. And those projects are really in the beginning phases, which we recently awarded a contract on those bridges, and that'll be over the next two construction seasons, so the next two summers. And that's represents a huge portion of the work that's going to go on in capital improvement projects. As normal, we do our chip seal process and projects every summer. We're about 90% complete with those. The roads such as Tiller Trail, Garden Valley, the road going into Wildlife Safari, some of the stuff near Oakland, sort of the north end of the county and toward Yonkawa, and all that should be done by the end of August. Road striping, especially following Snowmageddon, the roads just got tore up, and all that work that we did around plowing, cleaning roads, striping continues to be a big part of what they do, and that should be done by the end of September. Regular bridge maintenance that we do on an ongoing basis goes on. Road patching, sealing, all that stuff really starts September through October. Herbicide application this fall. And then once we kind of get through the really challenging parts of fire season, they'll be back to doing roadside vegetation removal and trying to clean up the sides of the roads. So public works is busy. Great crews working hard out there every day. And then, of course, they're always available when there's a slide or a problem where we got to dispatch public works, and they are fantastic about being on call and getting out there and getting that work done.
What about the parks this summer?
Well, a lot of parks projects. You know, we several years ago chose to have a full-time parks director instead of a part-time, with the direction of getting parks to be a self-funding operation. So mostly that means people that are willing to pay to camp at our campgrounds basically fund the majority of the park operations. But as part of that, the full-time parks director has been able to apply for many state grants to help improve our parks. And there's always a tremendous amount of those projects happening throughout the county. I got a big long list here, but they really cover the entire county. There's still some of the parks are doing some cleanup from the snowstorm, you know, a year and almost a half ago. So they continue to do that debris cleanup, but all kinds of bathroom replacements, improvements. When we got here 5.5 years ago, Commissioner Boyce and I, what we'd found is a lot of these park properties had been built, and the improvements like bathrooms had been put in 30 years ago, back when the county was flush with money from timber receipts and timber harvest, federal lands. And many of those buildings, facilities were really end of life. So the county had this choice of trying to figure out how to start updating those and, you know, bringing in new revenues and finding ways through grants to start improving our park system, or literally start shutting down parks. And we chose to try this with the, you know, with the recommendation from the Parks Advisory Board and the great works that the parks staff is doing. We chose to see if we can't improve our parks facilities and bring them up to date. And they continue to do that work. Probably the big items are, you know, Miley Park and Vailsville Reservoir area. River Forks has had some great improvements and continues to have more work done out there. Over at the coast, Windy Cove A and B, the new Umpqua Dunes camp area, Half Moon Bay, all those parks throughout the county continue to have improvements.
Obviously, folks, whether it's individuals, the business community, governments, everybody's been impacted financially by COVID-19. Some people it's been smaller, some it's been just a huge impact. One of the questions along the way has been the routing of money from the federal government to the states and then to counties and cities around Oregon. Are you getting, have you gotten additional federal reimbursement for COVID-19 expenses, and is any more expected?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And this is one of those things I wish I had not had to learn through experience. But here in Douglas County, we've had some pretty major events happen in the last 5.5 years, starting with the UCC event and then Snowmageddon. And through these, you know, what are catastrophic events, we've learned from a county government perspective, we don't wait for the state or federal government to come in with money to start doing what the community needs and what the citizens need. So when this COVID thing hit, we immediately started reacting and doing what was necessary, hoping that there would be some state or federal assistance, but certainly we were not going to wait to do that work until the state or federal government got their act together. That being said, the CARES Act was passed. It had money in it that was designed or designated to go to county governments. It took a lot of time to get that worked out through the state, and then with a contract with us, they were asking for things that we simply could not obligate to. So it took some negotiation back and forth with the state. We have finally signed that contract. We sent in our first 2 months of reimbursement, which was about just over $550,000, and that money has been issued to the county. So we've been reimbursed for those expenditures. We've sent in the second window of reimbursement period, just over $200,000. We're expecting that money anytime, and we continue to develop the, what's allowed and what's not allowed. And just as late as this week, earlier this week, I got a list of frequently asked questions and more description about how those dollars can be used. It's evolving, but I would say that, you know, the answer to your question is yes, we are starting to see that federal money. It comes through state government. So as an example, that within weeks of getting the first check from the state decided to audit several counties in their spending. You know, and I sent back an email saying, really, right now in the middle of responding to a worldwide pandemic, you want us to stop all that response and send you a whole bunch of paperwork? When in fact, you know, when this is all over, we're happy to send you everything. We believe we're doing everything right. And they agreed that that was a bad time to think about doing audits, and have taken a different path on that. So that continues to evolve. We continue to try to make sure the state and the county and the federal government are working well together. it's sort of funny. The federal government thinks they're doing the response. The state government thinks they're doing the response. But the fact is, here in Douglas County, the lion's share of the response is through county government, through our local public health authority, to our vendor, Douglas Public Health Network, and working with our medical partners. That's really where the response for this COVID is being, the lion's share of the work's being done. There's very few, if any, state or federal employees here in Douglas County doing that work.
Has the county had to cut spending in other areas with all those funds going out the door in the last several months?
No, and we haven't, because we built into our budget some contingency. And so even though this started at the tail end of last fiscal year for the county, we had built into our budget some ability to use contingency money to fund the needs in case there was an emergency or a situation like this. I'll tell you, we didn't plan for a pandemic, but because we had that contingency money in place, we were able to use that. Some of the departments likely will have less spending because, especially for a few months, because less was going on for a few months. So, but none of it was intentional. In other words, we didn't pull money from one budget to fund COVID.
All right, going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. When we come back, more with County Commissioner Tim Freeman. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, News Radio 1240 KQEN, Lars Larson at 1, Northwest Wine Radio, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4, and on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, State Representative Gary Leaf will join us, County Commissioner Tim Freeman, covering a lot of different aspects of county government and the COVID-19 response and other things that are happening just generally this time of year. Douglas Public Health Network, a bit of a unique model. Talk about some of the things that have been going on, maybe an evolution of things that DPHN has been providing this summer.
So I could spend hours bragging about the great work, the great work the Douglas Public Health Network has been doing. Teresa Metzler over there and her staff have been doing the most amazing work that we could hope for. They have gone from a relatively small staff, around 5, to over 30, and they've done that for a few reasons. One is part of the requirement for counties to reopen is you had to have a certain amount of contact tracer staff available regardless of the need. At the time, we only had 2 active cases, and we didn't really need a bunch of contact tracers, but the state required it for us to apply to reopen. So they have a bunch of staff over there. And what they've been able to do is not only meet the needs of Douglas County as far as contact tracing and all the other, you know, testing and all the other amazing things they do over there, the call line, these drive-through test clinics, which are just amazing, they have also been able to help other counties. So they've contracted with a variety of other counties, larger counties and smaller counties, to go do this contact tracing work. And they do that remotely. They do that on the telephone, of course, but because we've had extra capacity, they've been able to help other counties, and that's, you know, always a sign of a great organization is when they can take care of all their own needs and requirements and help other folks. And I cannot tell you how much I appreciate all the work that they're doing and how nimble they've been. They went from, like I say, just a handful of employees to having this rather large organization, and they've done that seamlessly, and they've done it in a way that's just been perfect for the needs of the community, and I could not be more proud of the work that they're doing.
Douglas Public Health Network puts out updates around this time of day. We've gotten the newest one for today, covering some of the health data. What's involved in gathering those daily case counts?
Yeah, so let me talk a little bit about the update, and I appreciate that Douglas Public Health work is part of that, but the Joint Information Center that we put together months ago is actually who does the updates. And that is about, I think, 14 different organizations, public information officers work together. And then that feeds through the county's public information officer officer, and then Dr. Dannenhofer as our public health information officer, and myself approve all those daily updates. But that being said, the contact tracing, the number counting, all that reporting with the state to get us those accurate numbers, being sure to separate the presumptive cases from the positive cases. Douglas Public Health Network does all that work, and that reporting work is very detailed and has to be very precise. Matter of fact, all the school reopening metrics, counties where they're going to be in the reopening phases, are all tied to that case count, and keeping track of all that is work that Douglas Public Health Network does, and they do an amazing job with it.
And right now, we didn't have any new positive test results for today, and so still at 159 cases, 143 of those people with positive test results, and 16 presumptive. With all the information that comes out, and with being under kind of the Oregon Health Authority as well, tied in with them, sometimes questions come up about information that comes out. You know, is something an outbreak? Is it not an outbreak? What goes into distilling all that information?
Yeah, so that is a Oregon Health Authority definition thing, and they, of course, changed the definition of some things as the process has gone. And to be fair, this is really the first worldwide pandemic that the health authorities dealt with, too. So, you know, the Oregon Health Authority is a relatively new agency. I think it started in 2009. So before that, all that work was done in DHS. But, you know, you really got to go back to the early 1900s before you can find out an actual worldwide pandemic. So everybody's learning as they go, but as they change those definitions, it gets more complicated, you know, to give that information out. As an example, we had for the longest time, we were very careful to report those people that were recovered. We thought it was important for the public to know that even though here's the total number of cases, you know, these are the people that have recovered. So that gave you a number of, you know, people that were actually still have the active disease or were in, you know, what we're now calling under isolation. So we continue to report that, but we have to do it in a different way because the definition of recovered changed, and I'm not going to go through all that, but because that definition changed, we now report the number of active cases or the number of cases under isolation. So today, there's 28 cases under isolation, which is a lot of cases. You know, we were down to where we had two. For a long time, you know, we had two people in the whole county that had, you know, at a certain time had the, they were active. And part of having 28 cases in isolation is there's 125 contacts that are associated with those cases that are now in quarantine. So as you can see that, the number of cases, the number of contacts really starts talking about how much problem we have in our county. Those numbers I look at actually more than the total numbers is the cases under isolation and the contacts under quarantine. The other number I look at, which is an important number, is the number of people in the hospital or that are hospitalized because of this. And so far we've had 15 hospitalizations and 14 have been discharged. So we only have one current, and that's an important, you know, measurement in my mind. There's, you don't have to look very far around the state or around the country where you have areas that are their hospitals overflowing.
What about,
and that really becomes problematic.
What about the area of workplace outbreaks? That's certainly been an issue for some of the counties in northeastern Oregon. How do you feel we've done here?
Well, I think, you know, the Douglas Public Health Network folks are the county's public health officer. We've been really proactive with businesses. So as we see those case counts start to grow, well, you know, it's not a surprise to anybody. We reach out to those businesses, whether it's Norris Farm or RomTech or any others, and we have a conversation with them, you know, about, hey, this is coming. You know, if this number gets to here, there's going to be, you know, the health authority is going to report it. So we'd like to report it through our mechanism of press releases and daily updates first, and be able to explain to the public what you've done to deal with it. And, you know, in both those, you know, work places, RomTech and Norris Farm, both of those business owners were incredibly reactive to this and really responsive to the public health folks. And because of that, both of those outbreaks are basically wrapped up. And I think that's a, really a great testament to those businesses and those organizations, and really to the public health people to get in there and be proactive and not have these huge workplace outbreaks like other counties and other parts of the country are having. You know, we've had a few of these, but they've all been really small, right? We don't have any that are, you know, these huge numbers of 100 or whatever, you know, that other places have had, or hundreds of other places have had. So that's really a testament to our public health people working with those business owners, those organizations, to limit the spread within the organization. So I think looking at our workplace outbreaks, that's really what I would, you know, describe as success. You know, we've had them, but we've taken care of them.
All right, out of time for now. Lots more we could cover. County Commissioner Tim Freeman, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, thank you for having me.
1258, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.